you intending to build a tower, set it down first, and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he hath laid a foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. For what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus Christ's name, thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us the privilege to worship you today in spirit and in truth. I pray, God, that you will bless us this morning. We pray that we can get something out of this message that will help us in our Christian life. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your precious blood. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You need to understand that salvation and discipleship are not the same. You can picture like this. You can say the wedding ceremony and being married faithfully for 25, 35, 40 years are not the same. Salvation is when you personally say, I do to Jesus, and you receive him as your Savior, save your soul. And that is your decision. If you're here and you've never been saved, you must be born again. There's no getting around it. You cannot go to heaven without being saved. You can have a good life. You can be a good person. You can keep the commandments. You can be religious, but lost. Salvation first, discipleship next. You don't live a life that is a married life for 25, 30 years and say, you know what? Let's go and have a big wedding. When you've been basically married for 25 years, you get the cart before the horse. You cannot be a disciple before you're saved. There's a lot of people that try to be a disciple of Jesus, and they try to live a life by forsaking things, not doing things, and try to earn favor with God. That can't earn your favor with God. Your righteousness are as filthy rags, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 64, verse number 6. So don't get the cart before the horse. Salvation got to come first, and then discipleship. I want to preach about discipleship decision this morning. I want to give 5 points from the book of Acts, actually, that basically gives us some what I call discipleship decisions. You've made a decision to trust Christ if you're saved. You either receive Jesus or you reject him. Jesus said in John 5, verse number 40, and you come to me that you might have life. He was talking to the Pharisees. You either reject or you either receive or reject. You've made a choice to receive Christ. Amen? So there is a decision involved. Christ already did the work. He died on Calvary's cross. He paid the penalty, and thank God he did. I'm glad I don't have to pay the penalty for my sin. If I have to pay for the penalty of my sins, I would be in hell forever and ever and ever. But Jesus paid it all. I made a decision to receive that payment. It's the same thing in discipleship. There are decisions that have to be made in order to be a disciple. So let me ask you this. Are you saved? The next question is, are you a disciple? Decisions are part of life. There are certain decisions that are required for discipleship. Let us look some of these discipleship decisions this morning. First, to Acts chapter 11, verse number 26. Acts 11, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And when he had found him, put him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Christians can mean almost anything today. If they live in America, they are Christians. But that's not the fact. If you look at it in verse 26, the Bible term for Christian almost says disciple. Can be technically and theologically and biblically but the word Christian, as you see in the Bible, is in another place, which says, you see in the Bible, Christians were those that are marked. Everybody knew who they were because of certain things they did and certain things to do. And they were marked and they were persecuted because of it. So Peter says, if a man suffers, be ashamed. That's what the world called them. The world says those people have an identification with the man called Jesus Christ. We're going to call them Christians. Those, a bunch of fanatics. That word disciple has to do with the word disciples in certain sports. They are very devoted to that particular sport. There are some disciples, maybe habits, or different. Jesus, when he mentions disciple in Luke chapter number 14, he is clear that he is talking about people that are willing to follow him, and he draws the line down the center, and he says, you've got to hate everything to be able to follow me. And that word hate seem like a brutal word. The word is used in the Old Testament, and it's used as a great comparison to what you love. He says you need to learn to hate your own life also. You need to have a healthy love, but you also need to have a healthy hate. The word hate is a Bible word. There ought to be some things you hate. If you're going to be a disciple of God, you're going to have to draw the line and decide some things. Have I made this discipleship decisions? Look in verse number 26 in Acts chapter 11. Obviously, it's very clear a decision to assemble. Amen? In verse number 26, the Bible says, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Amen? There is a deciding point where they said, hey, these Christians are getting together, so I'm going to get together and assemble with these Christians. Amen? Obviously, you are in church this morning. As a disciple and as a Christian, you've got to make a decision that you're going to assemble with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't make that decision and you don't go ahead and cross that line, then you are not going to adhere to it. The very idea of bringing you to a point of decision is to go ahead and say, this is not just what I am doing. This is who I am. I am a Christian. Why would you call somebody a Christian that don't go to church? It's like a paradox. Why you say, I am a Christian, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, but I don't even go to church? So the idea is you need to make a decision that you are going to go. It's not what they do, but it's who they believe. Church have problems because we have people in here. And if you have people, you're going to have problems. Well, I'm not going to the... Somebody was mean to me. Is that how you about your workplace? Do you decide not to go to work because somebody treated you unfairly? Do you just decide not to shop at Walmart anymore because there are hypocrites and people have two-faced at Walmart? No. But people use excuses to get away from doing what God said you're supposed to do. Number one, decision to assemble. The number two, let's go to Acts 13, verse 49. Acts 13, verse number 49. To verse number 52. The Bible says in verse number 49 in chapter 13. The Bible says, and when they had, verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. In verse 49, the Bible says the word of God is going out. You have to decide to assemble. But number two, you have to decide to witness. You have to decide to publish the Word of God. You as a Christian are to be a mouthpiece for Jesus. God got you in a place to be a witness to somebody that needs Jesus Christ. And he said in Acts 1, verse number 8, and you shall be my witnesses. You say, preacher, I'm saved. But that's not the question. The question is, are you a disciple? Are you a Christian? If that is the case, then God wants you to publish the Word of God, to be a witness. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can tell somebody. I never forget what that American missionary told us while we were in Bible college. Wait for a voice that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You might not catch all the fish, but you can catch a little one every now and then. If you fish enough, you eventually is going to catch a fish. And he said, if you follow me, I'll make you to be fishers of men. So you've got to make a decision. Okay, I'm going to come to church. I'm supposed to be coming to church. I've got to decide to come, and I've got to decide to witness. So the idea is just to be willing to be used. Aren't you glad somebody told you? Aren't you glad somebody said, I'm going to be a disciple, I've been saved, but I'm not just going to keep all of this goodness and all of this glory and all this greatness for myself. I want to share it with somebody. God is too big just to be keep for ourselves. We are supposed to share God with everybody. This world needs Jesus Christ. The hope of America, the hope of the Philippines, and the whole world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This world is lost. There are people you come in contact with, if they die without Jesus Christ, they're going to hell forever and ever and ever. You'll see them again. I'll see them again at the great white throne judgment. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Do you want them to look back and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Well, that is not my responsibility. It is our responsibility. The Bible says in Acts 1, verse 8, but he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, verse 18, but all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. 10:14, how shall they hear without a preacher? But I'm not a preacher. You can be a witness. I'm not talking about the office of a preacher, the office of a pastor. How they are going to hear if you don't tell them? The devil is sure spreading his propaganda. He's got all the power, all the money, the push of the world to spread his propaganda. What are you doing to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? You can give money to support missions and contribute to the ministry. You can share in getting the gospel out financially. Instead of spending all of your money on yourself, you can spend some of that money that God is giving you. By the way, it does belong to God, whether you see that way or not. He just led you to be in charge of that as a steward. Some of you, you put a lot of your money on entertainment. You put a lot of money on things you want to do, but then God's business, I don't even put some of the money God entrusted me. People don't look at money through the eyes of the Bible. They look at money like they really owned it. But if you're a disciple, you don't own it. God owns it. Amen. People need to learn that if you are going to get the gospel out, it's going to cost money. It's going to cost money to buy gospel trucks. Amen. It's going to cost money to support missionaries. It's going to cost money to build church buildings in the Philippines. But do you want to spend it? If you're a disciple, you do. If you're a disciple, you'll get excited when the offering is passed. Don't look at it as a negative thing. Look at it as a positive thing. Number one, a decision to assemble. Number two, a decision to witness. Then let's go to Acts 14, verse 21. Acts 14, verse number 21. The Bible says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to decide to enter. Because you have a life preserver on your boat doesn't mean you are not going to have troublesome waters. Just because you are saved doesn't mean life is not going to throw a curve. Just because you are saved doesn't mean God is going to answer all your prayers. You can be sincere, you can love God, you can be in church, you can be faithful, and you can have the worst thing in the world happen to you and your family. I've seen it happen. You've got to make up your mind that you're going to love God, that you're going to be faithful regardless. You've got to cross over that line. You've got to make a decision to be a disciple. If you don't, if you're on this reciprocal love of Jesus, in other words, you're going to love Him as long as you think that He is loving you and He is blessing you and everything is going well with you and your family. But as soon as your little legs get kicked out from under you, you're going to quit. You are not going to make it. Because I'm telling you, life can throw all of us a curve. Job said, the thing that I feared, that's what happened to me. You better go ahead and decide. Discipleship decisions. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You are going to have tribulation. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. This world is not our home. We are living on a cursed planet. Not only is the planet itself, this is a dangerous place to live. You have earthquakes, storms, pandemic, plagues, war, rumors of wars. This world is a bad place to live. You and me, we are corrupt. Bad things happen all around us. You are going to quit? You are going to quit on God? In other words, you can't quit on your salvation because your salvation is His. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, we are kept by the power of God. Salvation is done. He saved you. You are born again, and you cannot be unborn again. If you could lose salvation, you have already lost it, and so would I. And if you could lose your salvation, according to Hebrews chapter number 6, people try to use that passage that you can lose your salvation. According to Hebrews chapter 6, you could get it back. If you could lose it. The only thing you need to believe God. Once you are saved, you are in His family. But you know what? You sure have problems in your Christian life. You can be saved, but as far as your discipleship goes, when things you can get. You can fear in your heart because of something that happened, and you can have a blockage. Those above you can be like brass, and you'll be out of fellowship with God. You can be in church on Sunday morning and out of fellowship with God. Make up your mind, no matter what happens. You better get some thinking right in your head so He can straighten out your heart, because if you're trusting in your feelings, you can be led astray. The Bible says, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. You better take out your feelings, and you better go what the Bible says. The Bible says God loves you. The Bible says He cares about you. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. You might not feel it, but you can't blame God for what other people do. There's a real devil. He's alive and active. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There are people that are full of sin that are going to do bad things. You can blame all of that on God. You yourself would think the wrong thing and do the wrong thing. You'll blame that on God? Fair weather Christians. If everything is doing good, they're going to stay with it. When things get a little rough, they quit. You better decide. Discipleship decision. Let's go to number 4 in Acts 15, 28. Acts 15, verse number 28. The Bible says in Acts 15, 28, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well." Here's the decision. To abstain things. Point. If you're going to be a disciple, there are things. People don't like this kind of thing. You are and leave as they came. Preaching is supposed to help you. It's supposed to get under your skin a little bit. If you're not doing right, you need to start doing right. And if you're doing wrong, you need to quit it. It is called repentance, turning from sin. People don't like to hear that no more. Most of our groceries sell alcohol. That is an abomination in the sight of God. And if you get that stuff in your refrigerator, it is an abomination in God's sight. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. You say, I don't like that. Okay, so you don't like what God says? You need to make up your mind right now. If you do not want to be a disciple, just go ahead and draw the line, and you'd be one of the little wishy-washy, going to church on Sunday morning Christians, blow your little Sunday kiss to God, and live your life just like you want to live, because that's what you want to do anyway. You do not want to change. You just want to get a little religion so you can feel a little better about yourself, so you can come as you are and leave as you came. You have to desire. No desire, no aspiration. Please, Jesus Christ. Because you are not willing to drop it. You are not willing to quit it. If you get hooked on video games, if you get hooked on the wrong music, if you get hooked on the wrong substances, if you get hooked on all of that stuff, the wrong images, that stuff will get in your mind and it will grab a hold of you, and you start hitting 30 and 40 and 50, you are not going to let it go. There are some older people in here right now that they are struggling with the staff. They've made a decision in their teens to do something, and they can't let it go of 40 and 50 years of age. That's why we preach it. That's why we're trying to warn you. That's why we're trying to help you go ahead and make the right decision. There are certain things I'm going to stay away from. You've got to decide to abstain. The Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure. Having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're going to name the name of Christ, you better depart from iniquity. Look, we're all sinners. And if you are saved, you are a saved sinner. I'm telling you, I have the same wicked carnal flesh that I've always had. And you know what? I have found in me, maybe you identify with me, even if I have put something away and I put it off, I don't want to do it anymore, and I'm not doing it, but I put toward the thing. That's why Paul said, I die daily. And if you don't watch it, you will just pull back, right back into the flesh, the ways of the flesh. Here's the thing. It's one thing to fall, and it's another thing to get up. Look, if you know what we want to do? We'll stand around you, grab your hand, and pull you up. We're glad you are trying to get up. We're glad you are trying to put one foot in front of the other. We're glad you are here this Sunday morning. We're glad at least you've got your Bible. At least you read it on Sunday morning. Thank the Lord. We're glad you're trying a little bit. You'll fall down, that's one thing, and you're getting back up, and you're trying to be a disciple. But there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they made up their mind that they want to do what they want to do. But the idea that I'm trying to get a hold of you this morning here is this idea of making a decision to do the right thing. And when you make the decision to do the right thing, it doesn't mean you always do the right thing. It means that you might fall down, you might mess up, but when you mess up, let's confess it up. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you trying to be a disciple? You say, preacher, I messed up. Okay, get back up. Make a decision instead of I'm going to do wrong and say I don't care. That's a dangerous ground. Finally, let's go to Acts 19, verse number 1. Acts 19, verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, and to what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that he should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, upon them, the Holy Ghost came to speak with tongues and prophesied. Let's go to Acts 17, verse 10. Acts 17, verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. But here's some disciples. And Paul come and they received instructions from Paul. They have decided that they're going to learn. A decision to learn. Like this disciple, Berea. If we're going to be a good disciple, I believe we need to decide we're going to learn. Now, in order to do that, because when you think of discipleship, it has to do not just filling your head with facts, but letting those things that goes into your head, the things that you believe, let them affect your behavior. Amen? So it's not just, okay, I know the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I know about the creation. I know about the 10 plagues in Egypt. I know about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I memorized the 10 commandments. I can give you all the names of the apostles. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about discipleship where you're willing to allow the things that God teaches you here to fix you in your life. To leave out those things, to be willing to learn, to be willing to grow, to be willing to change. I love the things that your pastor teaches during the Sunday school. He teaches us how to rightly divide the Word of God. Because that's the most important thing after salvation. Amen. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is suitable, number one, for doctrine. We cannot be strengthened in our faith without being sound doctrines. That's why when we go back to the Philippines in June, there are 50 pastors in the island of Mindanao waiting for me and some other pastors that will go with us, because those pastors, most of them are briders. They believe that the Baptist Church is the bride of Christ. You got to find that in the Bible. The bride of Christ is the body of Christ, composed of all saved people. So we're going there. We're going to feed those pastors for 3 days. And then, first thing I want to do in the first day of the Bible conference is to teach them about the King James issue. Because right now in the Philippines, there's one pastor in Manila, a big church in Manila. And he preaches, before I came here last February, he preached that the King James Bible is not perfect. The King James Bible is not inspired. It is not preserved. But a pastor in here right now. To teach sound doctrine. And you know that in order for us to teach right doctrine, we need to teach them how to rightly divide the Word of God. We teach them right division, to teach them dispensation. Because there are three groups in the Bible that God is speaking. It says in 1 Corinthians, to the church and to the Gentiles. We need to learn. We need to decide to learn. To know more about the Bible, to be able to grow, you say amen. Not all change is not good, but you cannot have growth without change. Christians, the idea is we'll always be growing and maturing in our Christian faith. See, all growth is book learning. It's not just about memorizing a lot of verses in your head, although we all could do better if we memorize more verses. It's about taking the verses that you know and putting them into application. That's a disciple. So I asked you before, are you a disciple? Are you willing to be a disciple? If you're willing to be a disciple, then we're going to have to be willing to change. Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to do to be a disciple? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in Jesus Christ's name, thank you so much, Lord, for reminding us what we're going to do to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. God, I pray.